You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This week's Wall Trip Unfiltered, we have a special guest, as we always do. I love the podcast. I love catching up with my friends. And I get to catch up with legendary NASCAR, IndyCar, dirt car racer, Tony Stewart. Tony is in Indy for the big Indy 500 weekend. He's doing a promotion with Die Hard and Advanced Auto Parts. We're going to learn about that promotion, and we're also going to talk about his new racing series and so many things. His team is doing well. He's got a racer from Indiana, Chase Briscoe, that I love. We're going to talk about Chase. So I'm giddy. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to everybody watching this week's edition of Wall Trip Unfiltered. Hey, this week's guest on Wall Trip Unfiltered is Tony Stewart. Smoke, the legendary NASCAR, IndyCar, motorsports, sprint car guy. Tony, honored to have you on my podcast. How are you doing, my friend? You look great. I hope everything's well.
I'm doing great. It's if I didn't own race cars in a race series, I'd even be better. But pretty excited about the fact that we're all getting back to racing, and NASCAR side's going well. The sprint car side's going okay. As a series owner, it's been challenging trying to figure out where we're going to be racing and how we're getting our dates in here and there. But excited that everything's somewhat starting to get back to a rhythm and getting back to a life that we're used to again.
Well, I want to talk to you about all that, your racing and the things you have going on, but Die Hard and Advanced Auto Parts are celebrating the 50th year of Die Hard powering the starting lineup of the Indy 500. And I know you're participating in this. How is this happening? What all is going on? It's really cool.
Yeah, so we've got a great partnership with Advanced Auto Parts, and they've partnered up with Die Hard Batteries and helping celebrate the fact that Die Hard has literally been starting the entire starting field for the Indianapolis 500 for the last 50 years. So in a year where the Indianapolis 500 didn't happen in May, it's going to happen this Sunday, and to have the race happen with no race fans in the stands, which is going to be really odd and different, but between Advance and Die Hard Batteries, finding a way to bring the fans to the race virtually and helping them be a part of the command for the drivers to start their engines is pretty important. So if they go to callingalldiehards.com and they send in a video of their command to start the engines, that can get them the opportunity to start the field. And there's going to be 50 people that are going to win $200 gift certificates for Die Hard Batteries or products that are sold at Advance Auto Parts stores. So it's a really cool way, I think, for Advance Auto and Die Hard to help bring the fans back into the atmosphere of the start of the Indianapolis 500 this weekend.
You know what? I love partners of racing, and there's no better partners than Die Hard. Like you said, for 50 years, they've been plugging into those race cars and cranked you up so that you can run the Indy 500. And Advance Auto Parts, the partnerships that they have together to give the fans a chance to virtually start the Indy 500. But I got to ask you, can you give me your gentlemen start your engines? You got one in you?
Man, I don't even sing to myself in the shower. That's how embarrassed I am to talk about myself. So, I was telling somebody earlier today, though, when we were talking about this promotion, I said, thank God when I was driving Indy cars that they didn't have carburetors on them, because when they give that command, I mean, my leg was always jumping up and down inside the car there. So I would have flooded the car in a heartbeat. And I had to do that. My first Daytona 500, I had to literally pull my foot away from the foot box to get it away from the pedal so I didn't flood the car. So that's one of those commands that the drivers look forward to, because of all the pageantry that goes on to the start of the Indianapolis 500 and everything pre-race is so spectacular that literally the command, when they give you the command to drive, to call the drivers to the cars, is the one that you love to hear. But that's one of the probably most nerve-wracking ones. But when they give that command for the drivers to start their engines, that's the one you actually looked forward to, because once that engine started, then you started calming down and getting your mind cleared of all the pre-race stuff and getting focused on what the strategy was for the race. So, you know, it's a pretty important deal, and I'm glad that Advance and Die Hard are part of it this year.
Yeah, I think it's really cool because the start of the Indy 500 is one of the most special moments in all of sports. And I'm glad the fans are going to get to participate, and Die Hard and Advance figured out a way that it can be special for everyone, because despite the fact, and I love to hear what you have to say about this, despite the fact there's no fans in the stands, all that will be relative until they say, gentlemen, start your engines. And then it's a different Tony Stewart. It's a different guy behind the wheel. It's all about going out and winning the Indy 500.
Yeah, and those guys, it's going to be a different atmosphere for them this year. So the pre-race is going to be way different than what they're used to. I don't even know what they have in store for this weekend, but, you know, it's going to be a different atmosphere for the rookies that have never been a part of it. They're not, it's all going to be new to them anyway. But for the drivers that have been there for years and to sit there and not have that pre-race pageantry that they're used to, it's going to be a different atmosphere. So to bring the fans in and have them a part of it is going to be something that'll be really special.
All right, talk about the fans. You've got a racing series, you have sprint cars, and you recently announced with Ray Evernham and George Pine that you're going to have a racing series. I sent you a text as soon as I heard it. It was an emoji of me going, I imagine that you must have gotten about 100 of those, of people that want to be a part of your Stars tour. And tell me something. Tell me more. I haven't talked to you in a long time. I want to know what led to this. And how excited are you about what you've got going on?
Well, George Pine and Ray Evernham were the first contact that I had about it. And it was their brainchild and asked if I wanted to be a part of it. And I jumped on the opportunity because I miss the IROC series. I miss what Barb and Jay Signori did for so many years and bringing different race car drivers from different disciplines together and putting them in equal cars and sending them out to race. So the cool thing is when you get with somebody like George Pine and you get with Ray Evernham, you're going to get something that's going to be different, and you're going to get something that's outside the box. So we've basically created the old IROC series on steroids. So you're going to bring 12 drivers in, but those 12 drivers are also going to have 12 crew chiefs that are designated just to them. So versus having 12 identically prepared cars, you're going to have 12 cars that have 12 different crew chiefs working on them to help set that car up for your driving style and the needs that you want as a driver. So there's going to be a limited amount of things that they can change because, Michael, as you know, with these crew chiefs, if you gave them free rein, this would be so out of control, it wouldn't even be funny. But being able to at least tune these cars to the driver, I think, is one of the fun parts about it, to where if a guy likes a tighter setup or a tighter fuel car or a guy likes a looser fuel car, going to be able to give them that, so that way they're not just stuck with one car that doesn't feel good to them and they got to drive it the whole race that way.
Well, who are the guys you're talking to, and where are we going to race? How's this all going to play out? When do you have more details to share with the fans?
Well, today, as a matter of fact, we just announced that Helio Castroneves is going to be driving in the series next year. So we've got a master list. We have invites that are going out, and you know, we've got other drivers that have accepted offers already that we haven't announced. We're trying to spread it out so we don't just give everybody all the information at once and then lose the excitement about it before the series starts. But that's the fun part right now, is we're sitting there reviewing racetracks, and there's tracks across the country that are saying, hey, we're open to being a part of this. So, you know, we're looking at some really cool tracks, mainly smaller tracks, shorter tracks where guys are going to be closer to each other, beating and banging on each other, stuff that the race fans really miss seeing right now. But we want tracks that are going to give these guys an opportunity to slide the cars around without having to worry about crashing all the time. So having some of the smaller tracks where I think the action's better anyway. I think tracks like Bristol and Martinsville are some of the best racing that NASCAR has right now. So we're adopting that attitude and mindset. One of them that's up for consideration is Nashville, the Fairgrounds track at Nashville. I think that'd be a great venue to run these cars. But places that these guys aren't going to be separated and strung out that are going to make good races. And we're looking at dirt tracks. I don't think we're going to get a road course in for next year, but I think that's something the following year that we're looking at, is adding a road course to the schedule. But it's very possible that you'll see a dirt race on the schedule for this series next year. So I'm excited. SRX is something that I was excited about right off the bat. When you have somebody like Ray Evernham that's going to design and build this car from scratch, I think the possibilities are endless when we get him involved, because he's a, as you know, he's a pretty smart guy when it comes to the race cars and race car setup. So I think it'll be fun to see what he produces. And I think the cars are going to look really cool. They're going to be full bodied cars, but they're going to look cool. They're going to be fast, high horsepower, which is something that NASCAR has gone the opposite direction, taking horsepower away. We're jacking the horsepower up. We want these guys to have to control the throttle with their foot and, you know, not make it too easy for them.
You know what I love, that is my favorite thing that you announced, is your partnership with television, because I think cameras on the driver's face, cameras on his arms, his feet, the car should deliver so much information to the fans where they can see what all is going on. I would build the car around TV so that the fans can see what all that cat's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. You watching these guys in cars, you're going to get guys that are open wheel guys, just like Helio. Helio has not driven a lot of full bodied cars. So to see him in there and see how he's driving, see where he puts his hands on the steering wheel. There's lots of race car drivers that want to see how we drive these cars too. So they want to see where the drivers put their hands. They want to see where their arms are in the center of the corner. They want to see how close the wheel is to them. They want to see what they're doing with their feet and their hands to manipulate the race car. And that's things that sometimes we miss. So I think that's what's going to be fun about this series, is we're trying to bring angles and aspects to the broadcast that they don't normally get on a regular race weekend.
Well, I'll tell you this, I'm a huge NASCAR fan, and so if anything we can do together, I think rising tides raise all ships. You know, if you guys have success on your side, it's going to make more attention to NASCAR, and maybe there's things that you can learn from them and vice versa. But I'm really looking forward. Listen to this part, Tony. I'm really looking forward to being a part of it. I want you to know, I've lost 40 pounds. I've been running and working out, so I can fit into my old suits. I only have to buy a new suit.
It's funny because I was giving somebody a tour at my shop, and I've got a bunch of the cars that I drove in my career. So one of them was a car from 99, my rookie year in the Cup Series. And they were like, there's no way you can fit in that. And I'm like, I bet you I can fit in it. I did, but once I got in there, I couldn't breathe. So I had no idea how much from 99 till I retired in 2016, how much I had grown, let's say. And but yeah, it's something that I got to get working out myself here, because, you know, I've been down for a couple weeks. I was actually, I'll be 50 next year. And I was riding a one wheel with my girlfriend, and the battery died on it. And I slammed the ground, hit my head, got a concussion, black eye, all kinds of crazy stuff, and haven't been racing for a while. And I'm trying to get back in the car for this weekend. I'm just wanting to make sure that the steering wheel is going to fit on there without rubbing my belly. So that's my goal for the weekend and getting back in shape here. So when we get our age, we got to work a little harder at it.
You got that right. I have some great memories of us sharing the track together. Obviously, we had some great races here and there, but tell the fans about each other. How it started, just either you were for a position or you were lucky. We always waved each other and say, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?"
Yeah, I had a blast racing with you, because it didn't matter. There were days that my car was so bad and I was so mad at what was going on that I couldn't see straight. And then you'd either go by or I'd catch you, and we'd go by and we'd wave at each other. And it was like, it's not so bad. We're still getting to race today and have a good time. So that was one of the fun parts of my day, was us waving at each other when we were on the racetrack and having some good battles there. It's, the days where guys had to manage tires and budget your tires and you really had to treat it like a chess match. And that's where racing with you and Dale Sr. and Mark Martin and Rusty Wallace, those guys were so good at knowing how to budget their tires and I learned a lot. There were some tracks I know Richmond was one of them actually too, but Rockingham, following you around Rockingham in a Busch car was a lot of fun. And I learned a lot about tire management following you. So we had some good times there racing.
We sure did. And I remember Rockingham well. I had that place figured out in a Busch car. Could never figure it out in the Cup car, but love to hear for our listeners. This podcast has been such fun for me, and I wouldn't have got a chance to catch up with you, and I miss you if it weren't for the podcast. But I want to get a Dale Sr. memory. I know you probably have several, but I always like to talk about my buddy Dale. What's the first time y'all crossed paths, and was it friendly or was it not?
Well, actually, I think because of Coca-Cola and the fact that we were part of the Coca-Cola racing family, that was the first time that I really got to meet Dale, and it was at a production day photo shoot. So it was before we even got on the racetrack together, but it was crazy because I'm like, this guy's not even going to know who I am. He's going to wonder, why am I even here on this day? And, you know, for him to know what my background was in racing and to say that he had seen me race some just was amazing to me. But I remember I was telling somebody the other day a story about Darlington, and like many people, I never had a happy hour session that was happy. They were all miserable. I'd go out in the first practice and my car was good. We were fast. And then we would run happy hour. And it was like somebody snuck in there and stole my car, brought another car in that looked just like it, that was totally different. And I remember coming in at the end of happy hour and I was so mad because I'm like, I was so excited. We qualified good. We had a good practice session earlier in the day, and then happy hour, everything went crazy. And I remember we were parked next to each other. It was in 2000. And I got out of the car and I was mad and I'm yelling at Greg Zipadelli and we're arguing with each other. And all of a sudden, bam, I get hit in the side of the head. And what it was a chunk of rubber about the size of a baseball. And Dale had scraped the rubber from the underside of the hood when he got in from the session and had made a ball and hit me upside the head with that thing. And the rubber all blew apart. And I'm looking, I'm ready to kick somebody's ass. I mean, I'm ready to fight. I turn around and it's Dale and it's Chocolate and those guys, and they're laughing and carrying on. And he's laughing at me. He goes, I don't know what it is, but it's not that bad. I'm like, well, you need to drive this piece of crap then. But it was that kind of got me calmed down after that. And he's like, hey, he goes, every happy hour session is an unhappy session. He goes, you're never going to be happy in happy hour here. So he goes, just calm down. It'll be fine. And I think he ran second the next day and I ran fourth. So it wasn't that bad after all, but he was right. He goes, it'll be better tomorrow.
He always was notorious for covering his car up a little bit early just to make you a little bit, even maybe even more aggravated. You know, yes. He's over there happy with his shit.
Yeah, that or he just ran out of stuff to change. He's like, that's all we got and we're done. So, but he was, man, I sure miss that guy because the last half of the 2000 season, because of the point standings, I was parked next to him in the garage area. And I had so much fun spending time with him and stuff that we did with the Coca-Cola racing family that was on the side where we would go to events together. I absolutely adored that guy. He just was so much fun. You know, I think this sport really misses him. I think a lot of things would be different if he was still around right now.
Yeah, we all miss him. You mentioned your buddy Zippy. How cool was it to see him go back to victory lane in NASCAR I know we're running out of time, but I just have to ask you about Chase Briscoe, because I'm telling you, there's not a better man in America than Chase Briscoe. He has a heart of gold, and he can drive the snot out of a car, and he's so thankful and respectful, and then he got to go to victory lane with Greg. That what you've seen from him just had to be so special for you.
Let's go to the Zippy part first. We'll get the worst part of it out of the way right away. We created a monster. As soon as he went back there in crew chief and won a race, it's like, oh my gosh, here comes Zippy again. So it was like creating a monster, but I'm glad that we could put him in that position and help out in that capacity. I can promise you Zippy can still get it done with the best of them. You just give him the right opportunity. So that's why we put him as a competition director, because I want him to worry about four crew chiefs and four drivers, not just one car and one driver. But Chase Briscoe, I mean, I got to race – when I race non-wing sprint cars, I got to race with his dad in the USAC days. And, you know, now to see Chase come along and he's another Indiana kid with a great open wheel background, to see how well he's doing in the series. And like you said, one of the most grateful kids you've ever met. He just loves the fact that he's got an opportunity to do this, but he has the talent and desire to do it as well. And the talent is, you're going to see this kid in a cup car pretty soon. He's done an awesome job. I don't know when we'll get him in a cup car, but we're going to get this kid in a cup car sooner or later. He's really proven himself. And, you know, at the end of the year last year, with about two or three races to go, I saw some changes in him on the racetrack that I was really excited about and wanted to see what the beginning of this season was going to look like. And he's just picked up right where he left off at the end of the year. He's just getting better and better, and he's getting more confidence. And with the confidence, he's making less mistakes because he's not forcing mistakes. So I think he's doing a great job. I'm proud of the progress he's made. And, you know, hopefully he can go out and win us a championship and himself a championship this year. And like I say, we're going to get him in one of these cup cars one day.
Well, first of all, I want to say Darlington was my favorite Xfinity race maybe ever covering and being a part of. It was an awesome victory for that young man. And then I want to say thank you to you, Kenny Schrader, Kenny Wallace, all you NASCAR guys that are out there chunking mud on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights and just bringing entertainment to the fans. If there's a limited number of them in the stands or if they're watching online or whatever, thank you, Tony, for what you do. And I appreciate you guys, you Warriors, being out there and being a part of our sport.
Well, we're too dumb to sit there and retire and take all the money that we tried to save all of our lives so we wouldn't have to work the rest of our lives. We just take it and spend it owning race cars and going out and racing each night. But we do it because we love it. I mean, it's, you know, I saw Kenny Schrader at Knoxville last week for a night. He was running his modified the next night somewhere else. So he came a night early and hung out with us and watched the races. And it's, there's just something about guys like Kenny Wallace, Kenny Schrader, myself, you know, got guys like Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell that sit there and don't have to go do this stuff, but that's what they love to do. And we love, doesn't matter whether there's 50 people in the stands or 5,000 people in the stands. We love racing. We love driving dirt cars. And you know, we'll go drive halfway through the night to get to the next place and get a couple hours of sleep, work on the car the next day, and then go race another track the next night. And that's just the way we are. That's the way we were raised and brought up and what we love to do.
And when the checkered flags, we have a cold beer and enjoy life. So
that's right. I've had a beer.
Yeah. I've had a beer with you and enjoyed chatting with you. Thanks for your time and being a part of Wall Trip Unfiltered. It's always good to catch up with you, bud.
You too, buddy. I'm proud to be a part of it and good to see you.
Take it easy. Hey, everybody. How much fun was that? We got to talk to Tony Stewart, and Tony's obviously in a good place in his life. He's having a good time, and man, I'm just so happy that we get to take a glance into these superstars, these racers that we've loved for our whole lives, their lives and what's going on right now, and understanding that it's still fun to race dirt cars or whatever he's up to. So thank you, Tony, for your time. Be sure to tell your friends about Wall Trip Unfiltered. We're available on all types, all different forms of social media through the Fox Sports apps. So anywhere Fox Sports, you can find Wall Trip Unfiltered. Be sure to tell your friends about us. We'll be back next week to talk more about racing and have a good time. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll talk to you soon.
For the best access, perspective, and personalities in all of sports, follow us at Fox Sports on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.